afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Thursday, June 22nd, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I have with me my regular Thursday co-host, broadcasting from overseas, a Dutch citizen broadcasting in the south of France, Willem Velderhof. Willem, hello, can you hear me okay?
Hey, hello, Richard, good to be with you. Yeah, I have some audio problems, maybe just let me know as soon as you observe that there's not good audio, and then I will call you back.
You know, actually, it sounds pretty darn good now. I was just hearing a lot of reverb for some reason at the start, but no, right now it's sounding really good. So, yeah. Hey, happy solstice, by the way. Yesterday we had the longest day of the year, of course, the summer solstice. And yes, for a lot of us, that has a spiritual and metaphysical significance as well, being in harmony with the vibrations, frequencies of the planet and cycles. So happy solstice to you, my brother.
Thank you. Equality to you. Same to you. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Indeed. Indeed. And well, what is in the news? You know, I don't know if you usually get a chance or sometimes get a chance to try to catch my other shows, you know, the other days of the week once in a while. But like this week in particular, I was mentioning, well, just yesterday to David Scorpio, my co-host on Wednesday, that, you know, so often even the independent media, of course, seems to parrot and have just give their own slant, their own take on the corporate media's coverage of this or that topic, you know, and what to cover in that arena this week, you know. And so it just seems so much like we're just guided constantly as to what to report on. You know, no matter what, you know, it just can't help it. You're expected to what? Go to independent media websites, right? And look, and then you notice the other ones, they'll have similar topics. And then a lot of those come from corporate media sources, at least a lot of the initial info with their 2 cents added. It just all seems just very, very controlled and engineered and orchestrated. And I sent you a couple articles today on topics we've been covering for ongoingly lately. Let's see, the one is France to confiscate all private land by 2025. Kind of like how manufactured homes or mobile home parks in the United States are, where you're not, you're still renting the property, even if you, the land, even though you are actually in ownership of the building, the structure that's on it. Of course, you still pay property taxes, I would point out, in this country. So for people who think they own the land. But nonetheless, France to confiscate all private land by 2025 and having it more like that mobile home park situation where you're renting the land, even if you own the structure on it. And the other article, the Dutch farmers have lost the battle and 3,000 of their farms now are definitely to be surrendered, you know, seized, and they have some updates. Peter Sweden was out there. What is this? I don't know what social media he was posting that on. Maybe Gab, if I were to guess. But anyhow, I mean, it just, again, though, okay, those are the things we're supposed to report, at least for that part of the world in those topics this week. And, of course, we're losing is the overall message, right? The masses are losing. The people, everyday people, are losing the battle. And that's what you're supposed to take from this as a citizen. And I don't know. I can't help but think that that's kind of how you were interpreting it, although my good intentions in just sharing these with you. So I want you to share with the listeners what you sent to me earlier today. You have some excellent quotes there regarding psychological warfare.
Yeah, well, I did see your articles. I do listen sometimes to the show when I have the time or I'm driving, and I'm listening to the show, some shows of the past week for the recent shows. So I'm not that much. I'm not so much online anymore. And just in the morning when I wake up, I just scroll through the news, and then that's it. But I saw the articles you sent me, and all these kinds of articles and reporting have very much parallels with them. And the main thing is that this is not the reality as it is. These are statements which are not true, actually. The farmers didn't lose their battle, for instance. But it's like you say, very well said, that this is being planted in the minds. We are subjected to perfected psychological warfare. And the two quotes I sent you are from the book of Michael A. Hoffman, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare, where he explains these techniques of how we are being subjected to this extreme forms of psychological warfare and optimized, perfected ways. And social media, alternative media in that sense, has a special role in that by posting this stuff, it's planting seeds, and the so-called control structure is very much aware of it, and that's why it's using alternative media actually as one of their most powerful tools to set their agenda and the pace of their agenda. Because the alternative news, alternative so-called truth movement, whatever that you want to call it, they put out these news headlines on these alternative websites as if it's already true. And that is sort of setting the agenda, because it's going on a deeper level, of course, in the psyche of people. When they read this, it does affect you. It's also combined what they said in these quotes. I will read you one quote of it. It's like that's from the book Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. It says it's a statement from the British intelligence part of the cryptocracy, and it says it. According to Hoffman, we're now in the era of the revelation of the method, which makes sense, because if you look around, if you watch the news, it's like they say what they are doing, it's just completely in the open, and people don't respond anymore. They are in this Pavlovian brainwashed, mind-controlled state that they just go along, and they are operating from fear. They don't know where they operate from. They're completely sort of drones. And whatever is causing this, it's by biological warfare with vaccines or with frequencies or whatever it is. The most people are operating from this kind of state that they're not able to think anymore, any critically, and they just go along as long as they can sort of secure their illusionary comfort zone bubble. But this era of the revelation of the method, this quote of Hoffman, he says. This comes from the British intelligence part of the cryptocracy. It says, realizing that our activities will sooner or later come to light, we structure our activities so that as conspiracy researchers unravel them, they will release information into the public consciousness in such a way that it mirrors our initiatory procedure. In this way, the more we are investigated, the more masses of people are psychologically processed in the very people who seek to expose us, by the very people who seek to expose us. The meme that constitutes our essential structure is then successfully mimicked within the consciousness of those who investigate us. Success can then be measured precisely to the extent that our work is being exposed. So it's a very deep statement, a deep quote which is made here, which should also make people in the alternative media look into the mirror and do self-reflection. What are we exactly doing, and what are we supporting here, and what drives us also, for sure, and where does it lead to? All this exposing and just sharing this stuff, because this is part of the psychological warfare. And it's not real action in a certain way. It's just exposing information. And it's great. It's good, because it's always good to have truth, to have your perceptions more aligned with truth. But still, we are, whether we like it or not, part of this psychological warfare as sort of, whatever you call it, rebellious truth or not rebellious, but just looking for real truth in full information. And by sharing this and putting this out, we sort of support the agenda, actually, instead of completely doing something else, ignoring this. Well, you cannot ignore it, of course. You have to be aware of certain dynamics in the society. But most of these things haven't become truth. And that is sort of separating this whole movement even more, because the masses will look at them like, you are insane. I see it with my family and friends. They say, well, you know, nothing has come to truth. All these things that your conspiracies and nothing came through. Everything is back to normal. So there's no gain, nothing to gain in that in this part of the cake, as speak. So it's worth looking into this, and it's a really worth reading book. It's not that thick, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare by Michael A. Hoffman, because just putting out all this news and all these articles is planting seeds, whether we like it or not.
Well, that's something for us all to consider more deeply, for sure, and to take into consideration in general moving forward. So yes, no, thank you for that perspective.
And if I may add to this, Richard, sorry to interrupt you there.
Please.
Things are collapsing, things are failing, and of course this is not being addressed. By reading these kinds of articles and seeing these YouTube videos of this insane immigrant protest in Paris, you get a sort of perception of reality, which is not the truth. It is not aligned with truth. If you go to Paris, you don't see anything of this. It's not that I want to downplay it. No, it's a very serious issue. We're dealing with very, very serious issues, and it's clearly we're dealing with a collapse, engineered collapse, which is trying to steer it in a certain direction of control, but it's failing as well. Because if I look around here locally, for instance, I'm living here on the countryside with this whole climate thing and the whole effort to get everything electric, and there's more resistance, and it's falling apart as well. So it's an insane effort to control that which is not controllable. But it's important to address this, because if you read these headlines, it does affect you. I see it with myself as well. I mean, these Telegram groups, that's where I get most of my news, and then you get links. But it does affect you in a certain way. Where if I go here outside, different than in the cities, and I don't know what's happening in the cities, also electromagnetically, but it's good to remember and to be aware of it, that it's failing as we speak. That's a more important thing than these headlines that the farmers lost. No, they didn't lose. They just quit their negotiations, because it was ridiculous. This so-called government in Holland didn't offer them any guarantee, so they just quit the negotiations and they left the table. That's what happened, but they didn't lose anything. So, you know, so that's important to feed that era of, or that, that part of the whole so-called news.
Okay, no, that's all very valuable. And so I'll thank you for that addition to your points as well. And so, you know, it makes me wonder, though, to what extent then I should, question even the independent researcher narratives when I'm reporting them. But nonetheless, I mean, you know, just like always, we have a lot always flooding through here. Information on so much that, like you say, it is important to at least get out and to consider perspectives on, get the facts about, but don't be persuaded by this doomsday. It's all negotiated and near completed. Here's one on the conflict over in Ukraine. Now, you've been very critical of the legitimacy of the conflict because of how, you know, much you question Putin and current Russia being, well, separate from former communist objectives, as well as these new globalist alliances so many superpowers and world leaders are adhering to. We have, let's see, this claim now, okay, that a year ago, well, over a year ago, April of last year, we had a an agreement signed between Russia and Ukraine, a neutrality agreement. But then Zelensky was ordered by the UK on behalf of UK and US leaders to just, you know, not abide by the treaty he signed. And that the retreat from Kiev back in April of last year that was hailed as a Ukrainian victory, and some joked about it being a gesture of goodwill. This is reinforcing that it indeed was a gesture of goodwill. You know, why didn't Putin make this treaty public right then in April or May of last year then would be my question, you know, to all the world on internet, social media, everything, to all countries, so that, you know, it couldn't be hidden. It couldn't be ignored. And you know, that would have shaped the narrative for this past, year and few months here. But no, now it is revealed, kind of like how everything's dragged out with evidence or information or videos on all of these fiascos, like the January 6th thing in the U.S. here. But nonetheless, okay, why is it being made public now, though? I'm asking, and that's what the author here who posted it was asking as well, Chris Black. And so, yeah, again, April last year, the Russians retreated from Kiev, hailed a Ukrainian victory. It turns out it was a gesture of Russian goodwill as part of this neutrality agreement, okay? Because it's just, let's see, they're saying yesterday, and this was yesterday, so 2 days ago, okay? 2 days ago, allegedly, Putin revealed this extremely important piece of information, okay, that in April of 2022, an agreement of permanent neutrality of Ukraine was signed between Russia and Ukraine. It also reveals that the Western narrative that Putin can't be trusted is just a projection. The basic outline of the agreement is as follows. Russia withdraws troops from Kiev, Sumy, and Sharangov. Ukraine declares neutrality is the second point. The third point, Ukraine reduces its armed forces. And the fourth, Ukraine gives up NATO aspirations in exchange for security guarantees from a number of countries. So, this is all revealed now. Again, we may have to discuss this more after the break of Bill M., but your initial reaction to this?
Well, yeah, let's discuss this after the break, what I think about. I think this is part of a theater. I don't want to downplay everything, of course. These things are happening, but the good guy, bad guy things on a global level is still very powerful. It's still very present. It's distraction. It feeds in the narrative of the alternative people who are pro-Putin, and then you have the anti-Putin mainstream people who think he's evil. And so, you know, it's just... It's irrelevant in a certain way. It's from a certain perception, it's completely irrelevant. But let's talk about it after the break.
Okay, sounds good. And folks, to keep all this free speech alive through Republic Broadcasting Network, the canary in the coal mine for free speech, please donate. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on that donate page. Plenty of ways you can donate. You can mail it in, call, or PayPal right on the website. We'll be right back. At least one sign that could reveal the true dimensions of life, lest we forget. And maybe it's easier to withdraw from
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023. At antelopehillpublishing.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with my Thursday co-host, Vil M. Felderhoff. And, okay, so, yeah, let's expand on this a bit more, Vil M. Your response to this treaty, allegedly from April last year, which is why Russia had this withdrawal. We're now suddenly getting this information.
Yeah, well, this might be very well part of the whole psychological warfare we were talking about earlier. This kind of news which is coming out, which is portraying some part in the fake dialectic as a sort of good guy and the other part as a bad guy. That's us. Most people who are sort of more alternative mindset or more aware of truth, so-called, that's what they think or we think, are actually hating our own governments or hating our own the West and what we did and the CIA and our intelligence, as if these intelligence agencies don't work together as one big dark occult entity. So I think this is also part of it. If you look at history, that's another thing. It is like as if people don't have any historical notion anymore. If you, only the guy Putin, the history of where he comes from and his career and in the KGB and where he was involved in with false flag terrorism, horrific war crimes, And it's always Russia who is sort of the big beer. They are not attacking people. No, war by deception, waging war by deception, comes from Russia, not from Israel. Israel, actually, the Mossad took it literally over from the Cheka, which is another spin-off from Russian intelligence agencies. And again, these defectors, like Golitsyn, they speak about this, how the West is being subverted and from within, and also with this informational warfare, even way before the internet. So I think this is and what how does it help you in, on an individual level, this kind of news? And it's, where does it come from, this interest also? This, is it fed by fear or hope that there is a good guy and that it affirms our beliefs? You know, who is the good guy or the bad guy? That just makes us strong in a certain way. It's very important to sort of self-reflect on it. Why we keep feeding ourselves with this news? That is not like helping us really on the ground, based in reality, on a local scale. You know, as I mean, it's interesting for sure, and maybe it's true. But it's also a pattern that Russia is always coming after the things have happened. They are sort of the good guys, and you don't see what's happening in the shadows after these so-called wars, the contracts, what happened in Africa, in the Middle East, like Gaddafi said about Russia, their fake support of the Arabic world, how he was explaining this and talked openly about this. So I think it has some kind of irrelevance in it. I don't want to downplay it at all or something like that. That's for sure. But still.
Okay. Well, we may have to take the first caller through the break, but let's go to the phones. First, we have Charlie in Florida. Charlie.
Hey. Yeah, hey. It's good to talk to you, Richard. Good show, good topic. But are you, if you're talking about that peace deal that Putin did that was sabotaged by Boris Johnson, that was widely publicized. There was no hiding it. He didn't hide anything. I mean, it was, I read about it. Matter of fact, I even think I called in your show. I called into several shows and talked about it.
Okay, well, I don't know. Why, maybe Putin is reminding people of it. Maybe 2 days
That's
ago.
That's all he's doing. He's just reminding people that this happened. But it already happened. It was all widely reported.
All right. That little fact slipped my mind. I'm sure you're correct on that. Do you want to?
One other comment. This, your speaker is talking about Golitsyn. That I've looked into some of this. I haven't read his book. I don't really intend to read it, really, to be honest with you, because these guys all came out. They're all CIA, basically, in my opinion, operators that came out to promote the Cold War back during this, right after the breakup of the Soviet Union, right at, during the war, right after World War II. And the reason why the CIA needed is, see, people were, at that time, they were tired of war, they were tired of the fighting, and they didn't trust, and they didn't, were scared to death of the atomic bomb. They didn't want to make more of them. But the military-industrial complex needed a reason to keep producing and researching nuclear weapons and keep mass-producing armaments, so we could fight these wars all over the world. And that's what they did. They created these guys, these Golitsyn characters, and and all these people on a whole cost. Yeah, okay.
Okay, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Thursday co-host, Vil M. Felderhoff. And we're on the line here with Charlie in Florida. Charlie is mentioning, recalling this being made widely public, widely publicized last year in April, actually, Vil M. But yeah, the source I was reading today made it sound just very much like it wasn't very known or circulated in the past. But, you know, I can send the link up on my Chatango chat. You know, for all the Chatango, it's .chatango.com at the end. So beyond T-O-N, .chatango.com. I'll post it there and everyone could have a look. I don't know. Vil M., do you want to comment on this before Charlie continues? Well, Charlie, I don't know. Back to you.
Yeah, okay. The reason I probably it wasn't well known is because our media didn't cover it. Our Western media over here in the United States absolutely didn't cover it. To get information on it, you had to go to places. I got it from the Durand, was where I got my info on it at the time. And I investigated it, and they investigated it. People were talking about it in the alternative media. But no, the Western media, they absolutely didn't mention anything about it because they didn't want people to know that there was a peace process going on, that the Russia was trying to broker a peace deal with Ukraine. And they didn't want to know that Ukraine was ready to sign it until Boris Johnson came in. So they kept all this from us. Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else you want to add?
No, not really. I was going on about Golitsyn and Gozin and stuff there, and about how this was all CIA propaganda to keep the to create a Cold War with Russia and all that kind of stuff. Because see, Russia needed a boogie. They needed a boogeyman to keep the nuclear arms industry going, and they needed a boogeyman, and Russia fit the narrative, okay? And that's why all these people, I think they're all CIA covers, because their stories are all alike. If you look at the first one, which is a guy named Gozin, who was in Canada in 1945, his story is almost identical to Golitsyn's and all these other people's. They all follow the CIA never changes their narrative. They never, beyond the official narrative, right? They never change their playbook. They always stick to the same, you know, and it's always, it's some documents that this guy said, or they got some kind of secret, they secreted it out of the Soviet Union and all this kind of stuff. It's all nonsense. It's all a playbook. But that's my opinion, you know.
I would advise you to read the book New Lies for Old and Perestroika Deception. New Lies for Old was written by Golitsyn in 1984. He defected in 1961 to the West. He lived as a pariah, actually. But if you read the book, he predicted more than 145 predictions, which were to come, which all came.
Yeah, they all say that. They all said that. They said that in 1945, too, that he was predicting that the collapse of the Soviet Union, and they would secretly come in, and that was predicted in 1945, too. They all follow the same playbook. I haven't read the book, I admit.
I would advise to read the book, really, first, and then come to conclusions.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair thing to say. But yeah, studying the history of the Cold War, I have to say, in general, I think it's all deception.
Another thing is the work of Golitsyn is pretty much occulted. Nobody refers to it almost. In the alternative media, they don't refer to it. They see Russia as a good guy, trying to make peace, and la, 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 la. And they don't refer to the work of these people. Why wouldn't they refer to the people if they were CIA and it was all fake? Why wouldn't they refer to it? It's very powerful stuff, actually. If you read it, it's exactly in line with what is happening and how the West, to the detail, how the West is being destroyed from within. And he's describing this, also like Yuri Bezmenov, he's describing this. And it's happening as we speak. So how would you then explain this? Is this predictive programming?
I just did. It's the same playbook. They said the same thing in 1945 in Gozin's book. Said this, basically the same thing as the Soviet Union would fall and all that kind of stuff, I believe. But here's the thing, I don't say that Putin is bad or anything or he's good. What I'm saying is right now we got a choice between Putin and this idiot Biden, okay? And I'll be honest with you, if I had to pick between the two of them, I'd go with Putin.
Sorry to interrupt you, that's a false choice. That's a complete irrelevant, illusionary choice, Biden and Putin. The choice is you. Being sovereign, being with local people around you, and make a strategy and live on the ground and protect yourself instead of having any idea of saviors being around there as good or bad guys. That's a waste of energy, in my view.
Well, we got to move on with the callers.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my comments.
Yes, sir. And on a side note, someone tweeted this out on June 18th, and Olga Bazova, and Olga evidently didn't know of it previously, and so a day before June 18th, June 17th, she claimed that Putin had revealed this. So on June 17th, Putin reminded people of it. This woman, Olga, never knew of it prior, and then Chris Black at CitizenWatchReport.com picked it up. He had been aware of it, so... Pardon me. Evidently, it was not widely publicized for even Chris Black to not know of it either, and to be reporting on it like it's new information Putin just revealed. So next we have Joe in Florida, then we have Paul in California, Tom in Florida, and let's go to Joe in Florida. Joe.
Hey, Richard. Hey, William. Yeah, it seems like the Florida team is stepping up to the bat here. I couldn't agree more with my friend, Charlie, who also from Florida. Yeah, well, so can I, without belaboring the point, can I give you this, the chronology here that I understand should clear up some of the confusion about this revelation?
Sure.
So this is a new revelation, and it was revealed by President Putin on Saturday, on this past Saturday, at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. Okay, this is a forum that he does every year. And he goes on brilliantly, speaking for like about 3 hours or 4 hours off the top of his head, honestly. And the other part of it is it's also true, interestingly enough, that that in March of April of last year, there was a very serious, widely publicized move by Boris Johnson when there was an attempt to, you know, offers had been made by Russia. And it looked like Zelensky was going to accept the deal. And then Boris Johnson flies over like a puppet that he is, a puppet of the Jews, and kills the deal and tells him, oh, you got to keep fighting. Now, this particular thing, which has been revealed by President Putin Saturday, as I said, never before revealed, is the actual treaty or signed agreement. Okay, it's got 18 articles to it, hyper-specific. It talks about the number of troops that Ukraine would agree to. It talks about agreeing to neutrality. In other words, the idea that they were not going to allow these Donetsk and Lugansk to become, you know, proxy warriors against Russia. And it was signed, okay? It was signed by Russia and signed by the leadership in Ukraine. This document was just revealed. And Russia, in April of last year or whenever it was, actually did remove the troops. I mean, you must remember this. The media was covering, like, oh, you know, they were saying, oh, Putin is definitely defeated. Russia's on the rocks. Why would they be pulling back their troops from Kiev? Well, it turns out they... It, being an honest player at the table, as opposed to Ukraine and the Jewish thugs that are running that, played by the agreement which was signed and removed their troops. And then Zelensky, on behalf of his, you know, his masters, pulled back and completely disregarded the treaty. Now, it was revealed on Saturday, and the important thing of that, in this conference, St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, it was the African delegation that was there, and he's recently had Chinese government also reaching out to Putin, attempting to get him to start talking about a peace agreement with Ukraine. And so at that point in the conversation, Putin literally pulls out the treaty, shows it for all. You can observe it. The media could see it. He holds it up, signed document. This was the treaty that was signed that Ukrainian leaders have absolutely betrayed. And totally went back on. And the point that Putin was trying to make was, look, how can we ever trust these people now? We've already signed an agreement with them. We already pulled our troops back. And now you're asking us to sort of just take their word. I mean, he's been looking for peace for a year and a half, Putin, the truth is. And that gets me to my other point, which is this narrative, you know, all respects to Wilm, it's preposterous, okay? We deal in the real world. We have real leaders like Biden and Schultz and Macron and other people who are involved in fighting a war. It's not some theoretical war or Putin's controlled by the Jews or whatever. No. The fact is that Putin is the one who defeated them on the ground in Syria, okay? He actually has a real-world example. The truth is he's not a saint, but if you want to fight for against the New World Order, the Jew World Order, you must be supporting Putin because Putin is the only one with the courage to stand up and fight for people who don't want to be taken over.
You know, being involved in Syria, for Russia to be involved in Syria or other Middle Eastern conflicts that go against Israel's wishes doesn't necessarily mean that they're against any globalist agendas, if you will. Because, I mean, really, a lot of people will cite the strongest concentration of Jewish power is in the United States. And so I think the World Economic Forum, get told what the agendas need to be in the United Nations, probably from United States Jewish power, first and foremost. And then you have, European Union factions, and you have, obviously Israel. But I don't really see how being against Israel means all that much, just that they have different geographic goals, geopolitical goals. Wilhelm, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Joe here.
I just don't know what to say. I'm just rest my case a bit. I think it's sad that we have to argue whether anti-white kosher KGB official turned president for indefinite period by changing the constitution is our good guy or not. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's irrelevant. I want to know what my neighbor's doing, and I want to know who I can trust in my family, friends, and how I can deal with that, if I can cope with things, and how I can prepare, how I can align myself with certain people. And I don't mind. I'm not interested in whether Putin or Biden is a good guy. There are no good guys outside of there to save us. And I think it's also a consequence of religion, savior complex, and all this stuff. It's irrelevant to a certain degree.
Okay, well, we have to move on with calls here. Next, we have Paul in California. Paul.
Sorry to make that sound, but there's so much going on here. Good, robust discussion, no doubt about it. And, set up by the first half hour where Willem made some great points, including referencing one of my favorite books, Secret Society of Psychological Warfare, by Michael Hoffman, which I have highlighted and underlined many great passages. I don't agree with everything he says. I think Michael Hoffman was completely wrong about Hitler, and it's fairly easy to deconstruct that book, which he wrote about that topic. However, and quickly, too, one of my favorite references from Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare is he calls it the cryptocracy, and he points out that it's important to note that the cryptocracy cannot be defeated by exposure or by, for example, exposure alone. So moving forward on this thing with Putin and, you know, the agreement and all the things that has been talked about. So, and the previous caller mentioned it, Putin defeated the ISIS in Syria, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. All right, that doesn't change the overall picture. And by the way, ISIS was not a bunch of Israeli Jews, although it may have been sponsored by Israeli Jewish money. It was a bunch of Arabs. So no problem. He can defeat a bunch of Arabs. That's fine with the Jewish power structure. Notice that all the leaders of these countries and all the criminals, the military-industrial complex, the people that are profiting from all this, they never get arrested. They never get shot. They never get barraged with artillery or rockets or anything like that. And for all these people that think Putin, I mean, look, you can say what you want about him. There's a spectrum of every human being, including Trump, a spectrum of good and bad, a spectrum of deception, a spectrum of things that we don't see, hidden things. But pretty well known about Putin is how amazingly wealthy that man is, okay? And he didn't do it by being a businessman, okay? He didn't own companies. He wasn't like a real estate mogul. Putin is worth tremendous amounts of money, and just because he's been fed and brought up by this military-industrial complex, he profited from these wars just like everybody else. And if you listen to the speeches that Putin has made, okay, great, they're good. You know, when he's talking about this unipolar world and essentially he's opposed to that, and some of them are quite lengthy. But note, he has never named the name, okay? He has never said those two words, the and the word that comes after that. And he's had ample opportunity. And one more thing before I leave this call, what we can discern from this is fairly straightforward. The Russians don't consider themselves Ukrainian, and the Ukrainians don't consider themselves Russian. And the Ukrainians, from what I understand, were or are predominantly Aryan. Okay, now there's a lot of Aryans in Russia, there's no doubt about it, but there's also a lot of Slavs, Slavic people. And historically, Western Europe, right, which started essentially at the mostly the German-Polish frontier, okay, all the countries west of that were predominantly Aryan, and of course all the way into Ireland and Scandinavia as well. Before that, it was Slavic and Turkic, Mongol, Slavic admixtures. And they were not as intelligent or not as civilized. So they're not us. And I don't think Putin has any simpatico with Ukraine, okay? He doesn't care about the Ukrainians, or he would go in and topple that government and arrest Zelensky, in my opinion. So as long as it's allowed to continue, this maybe Khazaria 2.0, the emptying out of Ukraine and the replacing of the Ukrainian population with more diversity, or worse yet, more you-know-whos from you-know-where, then we know what the score is. That's all you have to do to read the tea leaves. Thanks for hearing my rant, and good job today on the show, Will.
Tom in Florida. Tom.
Yeah, good day, Richard. Good day, Willem. Yeah, let's look at what's going on with Shifty Shift. He just got censored in the House, and this imbecile should be actually in jail for all the lies he's perpetrated on the American public for the last 5 years. And they just slapped him on the wrist. Shifty Shift and all he's on should be put in jail. You got this guy Cohen from Tennessee lying his ass off about Durham and Trump. And this guy's a filthy liar. They're all cabalists. They're all these schmucks are in the cabal. So that's what I got to say about that. And, you know, now we got Marjorie Taylor Greene getting ready. That was supposedly going to be articles of impeachment getting written up against Biden tonight. Next week, I heard by next week they're going to bring articles against this imbecile. He's speaking right now, Richard, on the channel right now. I'm watching him with Modi from India. Biden is a bumbling, fumbling imbecile. He looks like a joke, Richard.
Yeah, I heard Modi from India. It's a historic event, they're saying, for him to have come to visit the U.S.
Yeah, he's on right now, but Biden looks weak compared to him. Biden looks like a weakling, Richard. And that's not a picture. That's not a good picture for this country. Absolutely not. You know, and you know that submarine that they were looking for and all these billionaires blew up, they found it was a debris field. So, that, you know, all those billionaires got blown up in that sub. And I don't know what kind of stupidity that is all about. But, you know, that money could have been well spent on other things like homelessness and all that. But,
They confirmed that that tourist sub blew up, you say?
Yeah. Yes. They're confirming it right now.
Well, here, I have a couple other callers. What else do you want to add, Tom?
One more thing, Richard. I just want to say one more thing. We'll see if Marjorie Greene's impeachment articles go through. And whatever Republican doesn't back her up, I guarantee they're going to be primaried and kicked right out of power. They will not have those House seats. No way. Because I think they're going to get every House member to go along. And Biden needs to be impeached. It's their election of duty. Bottom line, their election of duty with the Constitution and the illegal invasion of our country. So we'll see what happens. All right. Thank you for the call. Have a great day.
Thank you, Tom. Let's move on. We have Happy Moose in Canada. Happy Moose.
Gentlemen. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello. I just wanted to quickly mention about people misconstruing agreements in principle and treaties. So what Putin produced is a document signed, which is considered an agreement in principle. And then at that point, the parties to the agreement must return to their countries and ratify in their parliaments this agreement in principle. If this was never ratified, this document does not constitute a treaty, and therefore it doesn't matter.
Okay. And we have one more caller I see here, James in Vancouver, to fit in. James.
Yeah, good day, eh?
Good day.
There was some, debate yesterday, and somebody dropped the name Khodorkovsky. Do you know that name?
I don't. Willem, do you?
Yeah, that's a Russian billionaire, is it?
Yeah. Well, I just thought, I said, 25 years ago, I was trying to sell that guy's diesel oil. I thought I'd share that with you.
What else do you want to comment on?
And then I saw him in jail in the court, and he was behind bars. And I asked my partner, I said, hey, is that the guy whose diesel oil we were trying to sell? He says, yeah, that's him. So. Okay, that's
what else? What else do you want to comment on a discussion that we've been having here today? James?
Well, I kind of came late to it. I apologize for that. But you're talking about whether or not Putin's a good guy. Or I would say that what happens is with all these conflicts, you have the structural component versus the reductionist component. And that is to say, the structuralists are the leaders and they have to act in the best interest of the country, whereas the reductionists are the people that are complaining individually and doing whatever they do to try to make things better, which, because they're all individuals, doesn't add up to a lot. There's my comment. What do you think?
Wilhelm, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. And I mean, I agree, but the talk about Putin, I mean, the guy operates by Talmudic principles, to refer to the earlier guest. He's changing the constitution, yeah, so it can be longer in power. Yeah. He's completely kosher. He's anti-white, blaming the West for slavery. He's ex-KGB. I mean, what more do you need to know? You're KGB for life. You know, the KGB defector and become president of Russia for decades. It's ridiculous to have spent energy on that thought. And it's savior complex.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can't change your spots, I guess. And he did have something to do with when the Soviet Union so-called fell. He was in charge of destroying documents in the East Bloc there. And but the big crime I think we have to think about right now is the farmers in Holland. I mean, this is a big crime if they take away that land, because that is going to impact a lot of people. Back to you.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, and it's the same in France on a different level. And Holland is the fourth front man in this whole great reset, but it's backfiring as well. So that's a good thing. So things have to become worse. Yeah, it is.
What these guys want to do is control the food. Okay, doesn't matter. You know, they're trying to control the food, and everybody's got to know that. So I'll let you guys go. Thanks again.
I just saw an article I was going to save for the roundtable tomorrow. Doug Casey is out there saying the war on farmers could trigger a famine. And yeah, I could see that. Couldn't you, Willem?
Yeah, I mean, that's common sense, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's cause and effect. It's the natural law.
Well, this green agenda, though, to control energy so that the masses have no alternatives, this is really why they're doing it. Control. Well, thank you. It's been a great discussion. Brilliant. Have a great weekend, brother, and talk to you again next Thursday.
And you too, and the listeners as well. Speak soon. Take good care.
Indeed. Please support the station, listeners, to keep all of this free speech alive. And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.